Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hammer and Umpire podcast. I'm Kevin Weber, and for my third installment of the 2022 Doan Two-Man Umpire Camp, I'll be talking about my observations on this final day of the four games I'm going to be observing and the on several different umpires working plate and bases. Also on today's camp, we have umpires getting some specific field instruction. We have like two different segments, one in the morning, one in the afternoon, in which they get field work with a couple of instructors. They go over some basic things and then some specific situations. So again, audio quality, I know it's maybe not necessarily the best, but I'm just doing this on my phone like an on-site mini episode, and I'll report out on this final day of the Doan camp with the beautiful weather we've been lucky to enjoy. So sit back for another episode of the Hammer and Umpire podcast.
Well, let's say it was another successful camp here at the Doan Two-Man Camp in 2022. We had around 25 campers, and from everyone that I saw, and I saw quite a few of them in one fashion or another, either through cage work or something, working on some kind of mechanics, or actually in live game action, they worked quite diligently, and I saw some improvement. Sometimes you see some frustration, too, from guys that maybe don't perform or things don't go necessarily the way that they would like to. But that's why you come to the camps as well, to learn from the mistakes that you might make and become a little bit better. And if that's what you get out of it, then that's perfect, you know. Today, you know, I had a couple guys that are a little more experienced and then some guys that are a little bit newer to umpiring. Some issues that we saw consistently. You know, sometimes it's just like, I guess it's more basic stuff, but calling a foul ball when the ball is hitting the backstop or it's way out of play or something like that. You know, like I probably said before on this podcast, if grandma in the stands knows it's foul, grandma knows that it's a can of corn catch and the guy caught it, then you don't really need to signal for that kind of stuff, okay? But if there's some doubt, then you can vocalize and make some kind of call or something. So we had that conversation with several guys. Guys going too fast, you know, and this is the case no matter what umpiring system you're working, 2, 3, 4, whatever. But, you know, guys trying to get somewhere fast. You know, you need to, as Mike Duffy, who's an instructor here at College World Series Umpire, says, everything's with a purpose. You go someplace with a purpose, all right? If you're going to third base or you're, you know, going to cover second base or whatever it is you're doing, you have to do that with a purpose. And you have to pause, read, and react in two-man as well. And if you learn how to do that in two-man, that'll help you later on if you're able to work some of those other systems, all right? So we see this, like, you know, runner on first base, and there's a base hit to the outfield, and sometimes guys are a little slow doing that, you know, getting over there. Sometimes they're a little too fast. Or like it's a ground ball, and then they start to go from right there. That is ground ball to short. You know, a guy's going to throw it across or something like that. And they're running up to third, and it's not their ball because it's not in the outfield because they're just trying to get there. Like, oh, there's a guy there. I might need to get over to third base. Or, you know, there's a ground ball, and the guy moves from first to second base, and then there might be a throw over the third if that guy coming from first to second decides to go to third. You know, that's not your play either. I mean, you got to stay home on those kind of things. That's something we saw frequently. Guys moving places that they didn't need to be, particularly when they take themselves off the line to help with, like, pulled foot swipe tackling. This is when they're working the plate. Other things, guys taking bad angles at, you know, catches that are their responsibility. And this can be from anywhere. So, for example, pop up right in back of the plate. The catcher's running back toward the backstop. They're trying to make a catch. And you're running directly behind him. You're straight lining yourself. You know, it's good to, I had an umpire that did that, but which is great, but you need to get an angle so you can try to see the glove.
this is the same type of stuff if it's happening in the outfield, right? You know, you want to try to get an angle. You don't run straight at the guy so that you get, you know, you have no angle and you get kind of straight lined out of it. So those are things to keep in mind. That, you know, that's the same type of stuff on pop-ups on the infield, outfield, wherever you're going, whatever your responsibility is for a catch, if you can create some angle, particularly in two-man where it's harder to gain distance, but you can create angles, you will be in a better position and make stronger calls, right? You get there, adjudicate it, right? So saw that happen on a few occasions too. We had a couple situations here where there was like a potential pulled foot situation at first base, and the coach came out and asked if the base umpire would get assistance, which he did, but then he kind of handled the back half of that a bit incorrectly, where he they didn't put the coach back in the dugout before they went and talked, you know, those kind of things. So we talked about it. So if you're going to do that, that's fine. Say, okay, you need to go back to the dugout or wherever the guy came from. If he came from the coach's backs or something like that, then go talk. If you are going to reverse it, then you need to go first talk to the, you know, the other coach and let him know what's going on. He's probably not going to be happy about it. But and then make, you know, your signal for whatever you might be changing if that's the way it ends up going. So, you know, we had to work on those kind of things as well. Got an umpire that was doing very well. Strike zone was great. One of the other instructors was, you know, jumped into one of the dugouts and was trying to rattle him a little bit about balls and strikes and stuff, and just to get him to issue a warning, which he didn't do. So we've got to be able to do that, issue warnings, issue them early, often if needed, and take care of that stuff. Because the higher level you go to, the more likely a coach is just going to do that and keep saying things until you actually stop them from saying it. They know they get a warning. You know, unless they are yelling some swear words or something, or you know, something super personal. But if it's just questioning balls and strikes and stuff, they know they have a warning first that's coming. And a lot of times they want to use it or something. Another umpire, coach went out to visit his pitcher and was waiting for him to come to question balls and strikes. And so he met him and then ends up talking to him, doesn't issue a ball strike one, which I would have. Yeah, that's, I don't like it when coaches do that. And then walked with them all the way back across the foul line, nearly, you know, 3/4 of the way back to the dugout, which I don't like that look either. So we talked about these things, of course, you know, but these are things people do. I think it's certainly a huge part of umpiring is getting your safes and outs and your balls and strikes correct and learning the mechanics and being in the correct spot and all those fun things. But also managing the people. And managing the situations, particularly when they are giving you trouble on things, all right? So that is a huge part of it as well. I'd say that's 1/3, if I'm just going to put something on it. Yeah, 2/3 is all the other stuff too, you know, making sure that you get your calls right and put yourself in the best spot for it. But 1/3 of a baseball game is managing all the people involved in it and taking care of things that you need to and being efficient in that manner. And if you want to move up levels, no matter what that is, whether it's, you know, you're working sub-varsity high school and you want to work varsity or, you know, whatever it might be, you want to get to this, your state tournament or something like that, you need to be able to manage the people the best you can and know your boundaries of those things. And that's part of the thing, too. You know, knowing your ceiling, that is very important. I know I have a ceiling. I mean, I like to reach as high a part of my ceiling as I can. And in some ways, I've kind of reached a little higher than maybe I thought I would. So we know that that can happen. But being realistic about how far you can go, what's your age, what's your physical ability, you know, what's in your area that you can get, all those things matter. I mean, we do need umpires and we need officials in all sports. But part of it also is just knowing that there are limitations. I mean, there's always new guys coming. Particularly as you get into collegiate baseball, there's, you know, always former pros coming and, you know, the new hotshot guy. So there's somebody always coming behind you. That's why you got to go to camps. You got to learn. You got to study. You got to try to get better so that you can fulfill the potential that you have and reach the level that is the best for you. All right. So, I mean, because I have guys, you know, asking, well, am I ready for college ball? This and that. I mean, I'm honest with them, whatever I might think about it. But that's a tough go, and you know there's a big jump from summer ball, high school ball to college ball because You know, it's the livelihood of those guys. Even if you're working like a JUCO game, and you might say, oh, it's just a JUCO game. Well, you know, those guys make a big portion of their money, their livelihood, from coaching that baseball team at junior college, right? I mean, I know some are better than others, but, you know, they paid bills with that money, all right? It's not like most of us umpires were pretty much most of our extra, you know, it's extra money that we get, and, yeah, we might help pay off some bills and stuff, but it's not like we're putting food on the table from umpiring, or we're not retiring from umpiring or something. Well, we might retire, but we're not going to go into retirement based on all the money we made from umpiring, you know? So it is a different thing. Doesn't mean you can't do it, but it's different, you know? And you have to be ready to handle that and handle that intensity that those levels are going to bring to you, okay? So those are a few things that I noticed here this afternoon. It was a long day. We were very unlucky as far as game times. They had these hour 50 time limits, and every game, you know, the visiting team was winning, and it went longer. We had to play the rest of the inning, and that's just the way it goes. The baseball gods are not shining on us so well there. So it was a little bit, about an hour longer than I had hoped it would be, but that's all right. That's the way it goes. I had fun talking to the umpires and helping them get a little bit better, and hopefully they appreciated that, and the money they spent on the camp was worthwhile, and I think it was for most of the guys.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Well, that brings us to the end of another episode of the Hammer and Umpire podcast. I hope that you've enjoyed these 3 days of the little mini episodes for the 2022 Doan Umpire Camp. And I suggest for all my newer umpires out there that you look into the local umpire camps in your area. Hopefully there are some. If not, you might have to travel a little bit. I mean, there's guys that travel across different states and stay in hotels and do those kind of things. An umpire camp is something that you want to do if it's valuable to you, and that there might be assigners or others working in that area that you might actually be able to work for. It doesn't do you much good to, you know, if you live in North Carolina and you go all the way out to Arizona for an umpire camp and you're not going to work games there. So you got to keep those things in mind to make sure it's worthwhile so that you can be seen, because the biggest thing is getting in front of assigners and people that are given assignments in different games that are valuable to you in certain ways, and they can see your work, because, you know, they try to get out and see people work, but sometimes that's difficult, especially if you're not in their local area. So that's my suggestion to you, and it was an interesting weekend, and good times had by all, and hopefully you guys will keep calling strikes and get yourself to an umpire camp sometime soon.